Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information that will expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. And tonight I've got Tim at Tim Bertino. Tim, how you doing, Tim?
Things are going well, AJ. What's new with you this week?
Oh, a few things. But I can't talk about them just yet.
All right.
By the time this episode releases, it'll be public info, so who knows?
I'll continue to hold my breath.
Yes, so will I. But hopefully it'll be public soon. I love the time struggle that we have to deal with. Like we edit where we record one night and then we edit and then we post. And sometimes it's a week later. Sometimes it's a couple weeks later. Sometimes it's the next day. You never know when it's going to drop. Plus right now we're recording two times a week to try to build up a cache of stuff. So we have plenty of content to get us through the holiday season. So that makes it extra challenging.
Yeah, we'll make it through.
Yep. We'll get through. And that sound means it's time for the wins for this week. Winning, we have UTC 24, past the CCNA, all the way from Manchester United. Congratulations. Here's a good one. Brian from the podcast CompT with Your SE announced he's starting a new role at Cisco as a cybersecurity TSA, or Technical Solutions Architect. Congratulations, Brian. And if you haven't checked out CompT with Your SE yet, go to your favorite podcatcher, subscribe, give it a listen. You're going to love it. Andrew Roderos held a successful Red versus Blue event where he built and supported the VMs for the event. Congratulations, Andrew. That's fantastic. Andy accepted a position as a senior network engineer. Congratulations, Andy. Seems like not that long ago, about 11 months actually, that you joined the community and accepted a role as a network engineer. So I love to see people moving up. Congratulations. Mike Vest had their contract employer extend the contract another year because they were impressed with his work and work ethic. Congratulations, Mike. Isaiah Engineer passed the CCNA and is getting some huge kudos on LinkedIn. So congratulations. David Penaloza passed the CCDE written. Congratulations, David. Super happy for you. I know how long you've been working on this. And this was like the last chance to take version 2.0. Version 3.0 just came out and is going to be taking effect soon. So congratulations, David. Love following you and wish you all the best on the lab for the CCDE. So congratulations to all our winners this week. If you want to be announced on our show, you can go to our Discord channel and announce it in the winning section. You can, if you're not already a member, you can join at artofneteng.com/IAATJ for It's All About the Journey. No new Patreons to announce this week, but if you're interested in joining our Patreon program, you can go to patreon.com/artofneteng. And we thank all of our Patreons for their support, as well as everybody else's support of our show. Now back to the show. Tonight we have a guest I'm very excited about. If you watch Networking Field Day 26, you may recognize him. It is Stefano. He is the CEO of NetBee. Stefano, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, AJ and Tim, for having me. Pleasure being here.
Yeah, thank you again for taking the time. I am super excited to be able to share your story and NetBee's with our audience. So again, thank you for taking the time. If we could kick it off, who are you? What do you do?
Yes. My name is Stefano Gridelli. I'm a co-founder and CEO at NetBee's. NetBee's is a network performance monitoring. We We tend to monitor the network differently from SNMP or NetFlow to go straight into the details. We monitor networks from the user perspective because for us, as former network engineers, it was the best way to detect problems and troubleshoot problems. So as a co-founder, I mostly work on product management and basically work with the sales and marketing team primarily.
Okay. So you said former network engineer. So is that what you did before starting NetBees?
Yeah, that is correct. I was a network engineer between technically 2007 till we started NetBees in 2013. So a good 6 years was very great. It was the job of my life. But then, NetBees happened as a reaction for all the struggles that I had personally, at least in troubleshooting networks and most probably troubleshooting end user tickets. So basically, like I team up with a couple of friends, Panos and Panico, and we started the company in 2013. In that year, we were kind of half in between. Myself, I was working full time, and then started working on NetBees, the concept. And then, Panico was finishing his PhD, and Pano was doing his postdoc. So we all slowly, within a year, bridge into the actual company full time, as we were able to pick up some, traction.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So it was kind of formed out of necessity, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was mostly an obsession, really an obsession with, there's got to be a better way to handle this type of problems. It's incredible. Like, we feel like network monitor was not a network engineer asset that they use much to troubleshoot problems.
Sure.
Everybody jumps into a CLI, telnet or SSH to routers and switch and start the troubleshooting process, which is very exciting. And I think it's an art. However, it doesn't scale well and it tends to be very, there is not a scientific process kind of between around mm-hmm. it, really, in the sense where it's at the moment you don't have all the data you need to actually understand what the root cause could be. Sure. So we decided to, in 2013, the market was different than what it is now. And so we decided to start the company as an obsession, basically.
That's awesome.
So as a network engineer, what were some of the issues you were seeing that you saw a gap that you didn't have enough information or something like that? What were some of those issues?
Yeah. So, the number one problem was users would detect problem before us. And generally, especially myself, I used to work for a healthcare center. So we had 400 plus remote locations. Mostly MPLS or, metro Ethernet or other ways to connect remote sites. But so remote user would complain about a specific issue. And then we would, all hands on deck when we see not one, two, three users having a problem, maybe not connecting to a specific application. And so the problem that we want to address is hey, why do we have to wait for the users to tell us that the network or suppose it's the network having problems, right? So that was number one. And the second was, okay, now we realize we have a problem. Now it's all hands on deck. The typical war room conference calls where everybody jumps in and the managers are breathing on your neck to understand what's going on and provide updates. And that process generally was very random because everybody joined a phone bridge, basically, a conference bridge, and then try to collect data from the remote user, understand what exactly they're seeing. And then from there, you try to nail down where the root cause could be. So those were the two major problems that I've seen over and over happening. Then, of course, the root cause could be different things. Sometimes it's a bad fiber, right? Sometimes it's a routing policy that changes your routing. And maybe now you have asymmetric routing and, your VoIP calls are blocked. Sometimes it's an MTU issue because, someone changes or maybe your, metro Ethernet carrier changes the MTU and nothing works, or at least some application don't work. So root cause is different, but the pattern is always the same. Generally, there are kind of software configuration changes or route policy changes that you cannot really detect with SNMP with a traditional network monitoring tool that break your end-to-end connectivity network performance, and you cannot detect it out unless you rely on the end users. So what we thought is that, okay, instead of relying on end user, why don't we have this sensor network of sensors that continuously, you know, runs end-to-end performance measurement. And then we can detect end-to-end problems, you know, full service, loss of service or performance degradation. So that's what really in 2013, there was not NetBeans, there were not other, you know, solution that would do end-to-end performance measurement at scale. But then also, now to add, you know, 2012, the Raspberry Pi came out, and now you have a good way to deploy in a cheap way a remote monitoring sensor at scale for, you know, a few bucks, basically, and build the solution on top of it, which that's what we did. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
So what was it? So was it like essentially starting a company? Was that an easy decision? Was that difficult? Was it scary?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. Definitely was scary. You know, I think you do little by little, you commit always a bit more without realizing that then you made enough progress that now you can cut your ties with your full-time job and give it a shot on, you know, paying yourself and, of course, getting your salary with the revenue, basically, right? We also did some fundraising, but we didn't really raise a ton, right? We're really growing organically, but very scary. But I think for us it was easy and somewhat simple because we did little by little. So we initially applied to a local startup accelerator here in Pittsburgh called Alpha Lab. And, you know, around the US and the world, it's full of a startup accelerator. So that was the real first, you know, team that basically invested in us, like some people that were not the core team of NetBeans that liked the idea. They had a program around building startups from scratch, you know, given an idea. So that gives you some traction where, okay, they help you incorporating the company, you know, making sure that you can build governance around your company. Then they give you some funding, but nothing crazy. You can go full time in three. But, you know, it was a little progress. So it was not as scary as if, you know, overnight you decide to start a company. And also what we did, we tried to, you know, first go full time, then part time with our current job, and then start putting weekends and evenings on NetBeans. And then when you see you have a bit of revenue, then you start thinking, okay, I can go full time, right? So we did it kind of in a very careful way. So it was not too scary. Yeah. But of course, there are some days where you're a bit concerned or, you know, nervous about your future.
So there are different sensors in the NetBeans portfolio. There's hardware sensors, wired and wireless, also software-based sensors. Did you have that full portfolio to get started, or did you just have some basic hardware sensors first? What did the beginning look like? Mm.
Yeah, the beginning was primarily Raspberry Pis and that was 2013. So then we expanded. So think about in 2013, there was not SD-WAN, I think, started really becoming kind of known, I think, in 2015, at least what I've seen. So in 2013, there was nothing where you could basically compute at the remote branch office was not a thing, right? You would have like, you know, your Cisco router or whatever router and switch where you cannot run anything on top. You don't have a VM or an environment in the branch office. So the only thing that you can deliver an active endpoint or a network sensor is by putting a piece of hardware. And that's what we did. So 2013 was just pure hardware. Then in 2015, we added the Wi-Fi sensor, but it was still hardware. And then in 2015-16, we started building more VMs, Linux packages. Actually, in 2015, also we did a partnership with Cumulus Network, which was basically routing operating system based on Debian. So we did the software agent and then the VM, which could also be deployed, especially in the data center, as kind of a reflector or a you know, a hub sensor in a hub and spoke environment where you want to test throughput from branch office to hub so that the VM would cover that role. And then we started Docker, and then we added the actual endpoint in response also to the 2020 lockdown for COVID. So we really expanded the delivery method for our technology, but the core right concept is the same, also because it's all based on Linux, both server and agent. So it's very easy to, you know, repackage the agent in multiple ways.
So let's talk about what the operations look like at a high level. So let's just take an individual hardware Raspberry Pi type sensor. What are some of the constant monitoring tools that it's doing? And are there synthetic testing on top that customers can do active testing as well?
Yeah, so so the agent do the monitoring. So different from SNMP, that's a centralized server you drop somewhere in the data center in the cloud, and then they basically do SNMP gets and of course more, right? But the point is that the monitoring is kind of done from the server perspective. In NetBeans, the monitoring is done only from the remote agents, and the server is like a controller, like in the wireless right world. It's just a controller that aggregates the data and then does its magic. So the agent can run primarily test things like ping, DNS, HTTP, and traceroute. Then we added path analysis. And those are tests that run real time. So every X seconds, pretty high frequency data is pushed real time, and you see the granular data on the dashboard. Synthetic-wise, we do HTTP, HTTPS gets. We don't do the full HTTP transaction because our primary goal is to prove whether or not the network is working. So we all care about what is the network path from a location to a destination, and you know, record all metrics such as packet loss, latency. Of course, with path analysis now, we have traceroute for ECMP networks, so we can see how the network topology is, the ECMP topology with the per-flow load balancing. And then we do, of course, basic DNS and HTTP check because that's very important for the end-user experience. And then we also the ability to run throughput tests. Basically, we instrument iPerf. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's a TCP or UDP, basically packet generator, which is open source. So we can do TCP or UDP throughput test. We do VoIP test, similar to Cisco IPSLA, so you can select the codec, G711, 729, and then you can get the MOS score. And then we do speed tests. There are different type of speed tests you can run. So you can also estimate download and upload speed for, you know, branch offices or remote users, basically.
What are some of the wireless specific monitoring that your agents can handle?
Yeah, so we have a physical sensor, which generally is for on-prem monitoring or for branch office. You plug basically the sensor, reports on the dashboard, can be powered via PoE or PSU. And then we collect, we do all active monitoring. So we don't do, we also now enable packet capture, but mostly we basically can do Wi-Fi connection timing. So we connect to a Wi-Fi network up to four SSID in kind of round robin fashion. And then we time the association authentication and the DHCP timing. So we can really see how long it takes to connect to an AP, authenticate, including radius 802.1x, for instance. As you know, that could definitely cause issues sometime. And then DHCP. So we make sure that we can get an address, And then on top of that, we collect wireless metrics such as link quality, signal strength, noise. We collect all the SSID, BSSID information, the channel, pretty much it. For the endpoint for Mac, because it gives you also the MCS, you can also get the MCS. But of course, the endpoints are more for home users or, you know, road warriors versus the Wi-Fi sensor are for on-prem monitoring. So,
right. So you wouldn't put the agent on like every PC or Mac in your enterprise, right? Like that kind of defeats the purpose, or that's not the primary intent. You would use a remote sensor in your network and then the agent on an endpoint outside the network. Okay. And so talking about the agent, I feel like every network engineer or anybody in IT, when you talk about an agent, there's this like instant cringe that you kind of get because it seems like a lot of solutions have an agent. And when you layer agent on top of agent on top of agents, it, sooner or later, there might be an impact. I'm sure the impact on something like this probably isn't very big at all.
Yeah, you mean the endpoint, right? The user endpoint.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Our endpoint is very minimal, like 2% of CPU and about 40 meg of RAM. And also, we cap the number of tests with the software license that you can run on an endpoint. Mm-hmm. So really, you cannot really oversubscribe your laptop. But yeah, it's very minimal impact.
Nice.
And it's all overlay, so it's not like we're not capturing or listening to what the user is doing, which some people freak out. We just like run our own tests in parallel, and you know, just for the wireless metric, we don't have the connection timing because we don't want to disconnect or reconnect the user from the wireless network, but we still capture all the Wi-Fi metrics that matter to understand Wi-Fi coverage and performance. Yeah.
So to at least understand what the end user's experience is. But you're not doing the same tests that you might be doing from like your wireless monitoring hardware device.
Right, exactly. They do the same real-time tests, ping DNS, HTTP, path analysis, throughput, iperf, but we just don't reconnect the agent to test the timing like an on-prem physical sensor does. That does, if the user wants, can configure a reconnect timer just to make sure that basically the network can authenticate and associate and provide a DHCP address to users. And then we can also do SSID hopping. So I can go from a private network to a public network and then to a private network. And in that way, I monitor with the same sensor multiple network and also test the authentication connection timing.
Okay. And so from the endpoint client, can you set up some custom tests? I mean, I'm just kind of thinking like if I'm an enterprise that uses, you know, Office 365 or Salesforce, can I see or set up a test that looks at from that user's perspective what the quality of the connection is to those services that I consume?
Yeah, so you can, all the tests that we run are user-defined. So you define a target or an application by IP, FQDN, or URL. So then basically based on that, you can, decide what application you want to monitor. Microsoft Office 365 is one of the most common. Then there could be Atlassian products, SharePoint, Zoom also. So yeah, bunch of productivity tools, of course.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, A1 fans, AJ here to remind you about NordVPN.com. NordVPN will help secure you wherever you go. I use NordVPN on all my personal devices. Whenever I'm out and about, I just go into the NordVPN app, hit quick connect, and away I go. Nice and secure. Don't have to worry about prying eyes, anybody looking at my connection. If I choose to go work from a coffee shop locally or, you know, even while I'm traveling, if I bring my personal devices, I will use NordVPN to help keep things safe and secure. I'm using NordVPN right now, and there's no degradation in my signal. Everything looks good when you guys watch us on the live streams. So I can't say enough good things about NordVPN. They have some great additional services included with their VPN product. They'll scour the dark web for your credentials and see if they've been involved in any sort of hacks or anything. And then if they have, they'll let you know, and you can go change your passwords and do whatever you need to do to help keep yourself safe and secure. They also have a mode that will block any websites or ads known to possess malware, and they just have general ad blocking anyway, because, you know, who wants ads? As I record an ad. Anyway, if you want NordVPN, and you do, go to nordvpn.com/TAONE for the Art of Network Engineering, and you can get a really great deal, 73% off 2 years plus 4 months free. So again, that's 73% off 2 years plus 4 months free of NordVPN. If you forget that URL, just go to nordvpn.com at checkout. You can use the promo code TAONE for the Art of Network Engineering, and we appreciate your support as well as NordVPN support of the Art of Network Engineering podcast. Now back to the show.
So I want to call out something that you said that I think is really important about
testing different points in that wireless connection. So there's the association, the authentication, the getting the IP address from DHCP. I like that you have the different tests to be able to show those metrics separately, because somebody could complain that, hey, I'm having an issue getting on the wireless. It must be a signal strength issue. There must be a wireless issue, when there very well could be something with the DHCP server having latency and handing out IP addresses, and it's not wireless at all. And to be able to have those metrics ahead of time, I think is really powerful.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, the location matters. Like in a Ekleson on-prem monitoring, if you don't drop an endpoint on the user laptop, which, you know, not everybody wants to do necessarily. If they work from home, makes sense, because I think is there is a cost benefit analysis that, especially for some companies, very, very, you know, tangible. But if there, you have a bunch of on-prem users that work in the offices, you know, a sensor can do a good job to kind of aggregate, be the canary in the mine for that group of users, right? Then you know for sure that you don't want to put sensor everywhere, because that could be over-engineering. But at least you want to test the basics, meaning that my network can associate, authenticate, and provide a DHCP address to the user. So that if it works for one sensor, will work for the other users. Then if there is a wireless signal problem, or maybe one access point that may be misconfigured, you can also detect that if you want. But of course, like, your monitoring is as precise as your configuration and how you configure, right? So there is always some trade-off to making your monitoring decision, where to put the sensor and how aggressive you want to do certain checks, right?
Yeah,
and I want to have like a recommendation for kind of that the various deployment scenarios, right? Like I'm just thinking, like if you have a remote office with 10 users or 100 users, do you just recommend like 1% of users should get the endpoint for monitoring?
The sensor. John, what I recommend is like you can do you can kind of sprinkle sensor how you feel based on your how do you say site survey and how your network is laid out. If that's too much, at least I say start with one sensor per remote location, especially if it's a small location, one per small location. At least you monitor, you verify the basics, and you know if a user complains, then you already know that, hey, my DHCP server is working, is providing addresses, my radius is authenticating, right? Things that maybe the sensor cannot cover, because maybe the sensor is in one side of the room and the user is on the other side, and then there is not good coverage, then you can start straight into the coverage, right? Or maybe if your sensor is not connected to the same access point that your user that is complaining is connected to, you can force the access point, the sensor to connect, steer to that access point. So there are different options, but basically I always say one at least per location. Mm-hmm. If you have a large, like an headquarters, deploy the sensor in key areas such as boardrooms, maybe cafeteria, wherever like there is a congregation of users, right? Sure. Or there are very important users in your network that you want to make sure that the service works for them. And then could be, like actually, for example, like Curtis, he just had a webinar for us in September. He works in a large higher education and healthcare system in Utah. And he, for example, uses also Haddock. So he has to support outside the hospital, also the dorms and the students. And he has also kind of a loaner type of program where if a student complains in a dorm that the network is not good, the wireless has XYZ problem, so they can go at the front desk, get the NetBeez B, plug it to their room, and then the Beez collects the data for Curtis then and his team to troubleshoot what the problem could be. Long story short, some could be permanent and some could be kind of deployed ad hoc based on needs. But the nice thing is that you don't have to sit there with a laptop for, you know, 2 or 3 days waiting for, basically fishing for the problem. You just have a remote sensor that you deploy and then gets all the information that you need to figure out what the problem is.
Yeah. I like that. You just, you know, have that temporary one that floats around when somebody needs it, and you can reallocate it.
And sometimes you prove that the network is right. It's not the network, and you know, sometimes, and that's why also we added packet capture for Wi-Fi sensors, because sometimes you have to do a packet capture and prove that maybe a medical device doesn't follow a specific like association workflow with an access point, for instance. So, you know, sometimes you just have to prove, hey, everything is good on my end, my sensor can connect. So it could be your device or device driver, right? So,
right.
So one thing that I think is really important and helpful about those endpoint agents for the people that may be remote, where you don't necessarily own the infrastructure or the path to get to them, is being able to have their information ahead of time and their device information. So I think a pain point for first level support is that information gathering. So how do we typically look up a user if it's not a user ID? It's, hey, what's your IP address? What's your MAC address? That information isn't always intuitive for the end users to get us. So out of the NetBees console, how can we look up those endpoints? Can we look them up by user, by computer name? What are the options? Yeah.
Right. So now we're talking, of course, about the endpoint that runs on the laptop, right? And actually, yes, because an interesting thing, generally the network agents, so we have two type of agents, network agents, which are the on-prem or hardware virtual sensor, and then you have the endpoint, right? The endpoint came as part of the lockdown and, you know, work from home kind of shift. So, and in fact, we see now supporting remote user that work from home is more an L1 help desk type of task versus before the network agent was more a wireless or network engineer tool, right? So, yeah, we basically index endpoints based on the computer name, whether it's a Windows or Mac. Actually, in Windows is the machine name. On Mac, I think it's the username, if I'm correct, the username of the that installs the endpoint. But then, of course, we also log the IP address, public and private, of the remote user. So you have multiple, and we also log the MAC address, right? So you have multiple ways to locate a user. Some large organization we work with, we also do an integration. And actually, Network Field Day, our CTO Panico showed that part. Well, basically, we integrate with their own HR or employee management system. So when a machine name registered to NetBees, you can do the lookup in the employee database and just rename the machine, that endpoint, to the full name of the employee, right? So there are different ways that we do it, but of course, when you install the agent, generally is the machine name for Windows, which most of the deployments are Windows.
Okay. So we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the agents, both wired, wireless, and the endpoint agents. How do I see this data? Where does it live? Where is it hosted? Is there a cloud portal? Where do I get at it?
Right. So NetBees is a dedicated server per customer, meaning that we're flexible with deploying your NetBees server/controller/dashboard on-prem if you want, or in the cloud. And if it's in the cloud, it could be hosted by us or hosted by the customer. So there is really like flexibility on that. It's not like a traditional SaaS solution where you're in a multi-tenancy environment. And, you know, companies that need to keep the data on-prem and they have privacy or security concerns, they can keep everything on-prem or in your DMZ with firewall rules, et cetera. So really flexible with that.
Okay.
So if we could, I'd like to kind of walk through like, you have a problem on your network and you turn to NetBees to help you solve it. What does something that like that look like? And I understand that this is a podcast and without doing like a screen share, that might be a little bit hard to do, but I'd like to try to explore what that might look like in a verbal fashion.
No, absolutely. I'll start with a very, very simple like use case. Is it the network or is the application, right?
Right.
Like a user call from Office 223 and says, I cannot connect to application XYZ. Now, well, first of all, if you have NetBees, you already know if it's a network or an application issue or a user issue, right? Because If it's just one location and you have a sensor there, you would see just one sensor triggering a bunch of alerts and then an incident that that agent cannot connect to one or more applications, right? Versus if it's like all the location cannot connect to the application, then most probably is the application. So in that case, we understand that is an application issue and we trigger an agent target incident, right? So we call it like global versus global. Is a problem experienced by multiple users or multiple location or just by one or a subset? That it's already like a good way that it's a good way to troubleshoot. Like if you go on Starbucks or some coffee shop, you cannot connect with the network. You ask someone, hey, are you able to connect or not? Right? And same generally, like when you troubleshoot a problem, is this only one user, two users, all users at the location? That's the fundamental question that in some instances, it takes a lot of time if you have a large WAN or a large network or a large user base. Just answer that question takes a lot of time and then good luck with communicating with the customer, which is going back to the question of team. Also, the power of this is that you don't have to deal and communicate and, you know, work with the end user. You don't also distract them. You have all the information automatically sent, historical information, and you can just do your work without needing to interact and disrupt and interrupt someone else's work, right?
Right.
So, is it the network or the application? That's the number one golden use case. Then, of course, if it's the network, there are so many things that can go wrong, as you know.
Trying to give Tim some room because we've been stepping on each other.
That's
not easy. Make sure we don't talk over each other.
Yeah.
So as you're working through that kind of troubleshooting workflow, if it's the network, you know, how far up can you tell there's an issue, right? Are we talking about like internally or like can you see like BGP's lost a peer or something like that?
Okay.
Like what kind of information can we look at?
Yes, good question. So about the BGP, think about you were an overlay, a kind of black box monitor at the moment. Mm-hmm. We don't integrate via SNMP or NetFlow or via maybe a BGP with the network itself. We see it as an overlay. So the test that I was telling you, you run those tests from multiple sensors. Then you have aggregate data. You can compare performance from multiple locations, from a latency, packet loss, DNS response time, HTTP response time, and then path analysis. With you can see the topology from multiple point of view. And we trigger on changes or performance degradation on all those metrics that we capture. So, but we don't do like things like BGP play, or we don't see if, like, say, BGP router lost adjacency or the neighbor, right?
Sure.
There might be in the future definitely adding, you know, also adding that information to NetBeans, definitely. But we still have so much to do from this type of network monitoring we're doing that we're not quite ready to also add SNMP data or BGP data to this solution.
Right. Right. And you know what, though, like I appreciate the focus on the end user perspective, right? Because if your network is configured correctly, but there's still something wrong and the end user is experiencing a problem, then, you know, it really doesn't matter. Like it's all about the end user's performance and their ability to do their job.
Right.
So, I appreciate that approach for sure.
Yeah, because also, so two things. Like, of course, network engineers want to build networks, right? Learn new technology, test those technologies and then deploy them and then move on to the next one. It's not nice if you like spend a lot of time then supporting troubleshooting because, of course, nobody but you knows very well that network. And then guess who they're going to ping when users have problems and nobody can troubleshoot, like level, you know, the network engineers or architects that build the network. So we also want to free time of network engineers and make sure that, you know, support is enabled and empowered to do troubleshooting, at least for the most common and easy problems without having to bug a level two or level three, right? So that's very important.
Nice.
We're getting some really good questions in the chat here. So a couple of use cases where it might be difficult to get endpoint agents are manufacturing, and you've mentioned healthcare before. Mm-hmm. So how do we get the best visibility there? Is it a combination of hardware and wireless hardware endpoints, wired and wireless endpoints.
Right. And I think like basically the point is like if I cannot load an agent, a sensor on a third-party device and I want to understand what's going on with that device, why is having network problems, right? How can I troubleshoot those type of issues?
Yes.
So our approach is this one, like, you know, the routing is the same, the network is the same. So you want to put in parallel a sensor that is in the same, say, subnet as an X-ray machine or an infusion pump or anything that you want to mention and make sure that at least, you know, for that X-ray machine or infusion pump to work, I'm sure that has to send data and communicate with the server, right? So we want to make sure at least that the network path between the device and the server is clear and, you know, there's good performance, right? So we basically validate and test the network from a, you know, routing perspective and performance perspective that the network works basically. Right, so you don't need necessarily to load an NetBeans agent on each device. And actually, initially, before COVID, we were kind of against with the building an endpoint. Although we thought eventually we will do it, but that's a big data because when you start loading endpoint in thousands and thousands of laptop, good luck getting all those signal. But now we have an approach to tame that big data problem. Right. So that's how you would do it. You just put basically the canary in the mine that tells you if the network is good or bad for those devices to function well from a network perspective. Right. Then, like in the case of if you need a packet capture because that device driver is not up to date, which happens a lot with medical devices or industrial devices. They have their own stack. Maybe they have a 10 half duplex interface. Good luck with that. Right. There is so much you can do. You can just open a ticket with the vendor and see what they can do for you.
Right. So on the on-premises endpoints, so if I've got a wired endpoint, you mentioned some HTTP GET synthetic testing. Mm-hmm. If there's an internal application, can I do that? Can I set up HTTP GETs toward that internal server on a timed basis? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So targets, the destination is user defined. You create a target, which is an application or a service that you want to monitor, and you define it by IP, FQDN, or URL. And then you attach to it a test, a ping, DNS, HTTP, tracer, or path analysis against that IP. So you really test like a network connectivity latency, DNS resolution, HTTP/HTTPS GET. We can also configure things like, you know, you can configure custom HTTP port, proxy authentication, basic authentication such as NTLM for SharePoint. So yeah, you're totally, you know, you can customize your monitoring based on what you need to monitor. And then on top of the, you know, and then the tests run pretty high frequency. By default, the ping test is every 5 seconds, DNS every 30 seconds, HTTP every 60 seconds, and tracer every 2 minutes. But you can change those value. And now you have a time series associated with the performance of that object. And then on top of that time series for ping, DNS, HTTP, you can attach alert detectors that can alert you if, you know, there is a loss of ping or round trip time is increasing, it crosses a specific SLA or just a baseline that you recorded with NetBeans. So it's very like, you know, highly customizable. You cannot really see what the tool is doing. There is nothing that, you know, you enable an application, you don't know quite what's going on. You get sample data. No, it's like clear in front of your eyes, because we want to make sure that you are fully aware of what the solution is doing, what is testing, and what is the data as it is. Then, of course, on top of that data, we can do, you know, analysis, trend analysis, correlation, aggregation, and give you, you know, extrapolate, you know, an incident, for instance. But we also want to give the user to go low level into the details, you know, of a ping test, because sometimes the most difficult problems that we troubleshoot are the one where, you know, there are a sudden change, right? So if you have sample data, if you have a 1 minute average of ping test, that doesn't help because, you know, performance might change And you have to see that pattern in your analysis, in your troubleshooting.
Are there any existing API integrations if I have other monitoring systems or other systems in general that I want to pull data out of? Or can NetBees go into ITSM systems to maybe trigger thresholds or open incidents? Is there any of that available today?
Yeah, so we have an API to get the data, but also we have I think it's called Push API. I'm not like a super, but basically you can get data from NetBees to, you know, display somewhere else. You can also, with an API, create tests or configuration within NetBees. We also have a way to send alerts or notification via Syslog, SNMP, or SMTP, right? So email, SNMP traps, or Syslog. And then we have also native integration with Splunk, PagerDuty, and Slack at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Things that we are, of course, considering, webhooks and Microsoft Teams are on the roadmap, and then eventually ServiceNow. For now, with ServiceNow, you can integrate with email, which is not optimal, but still it works, to open tickets when an incident is triggered. So definitely, like, NetBees doesn't... We generally coexist with an SNMP solution, a passive monitoring solution. It's not like we coexist in a large network monitoring environment and part of a stack. So it's very important. Those integrations are very important.
So I'm a deployment engineer for a partner, and I got to ask, like, what's a deployment look like? So, you know, someone buys NetBees from the day we start implementing to collecting data. What's that look like?
So deploying a typical deployment of NetBees?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's fairly quick, honestly. We set it as is plug and play, but it's really because as network engineer realize you don't have time to configure the server. And of course, it's not cloud SaaS. So it's not that you go on a website, click, you create your account, right? It's on-prem. But even if it's on-prem, we basically... Whether it's on-prem, of course, if it's cloud, it's easy. It's already there. You create your username, you plug the agents, and then they connect to the dashboard. Mm-hmm. But if it's on-prem, we work with you. We basically, the customer submit an OVA form where we collect the information about the server, IP settings, and FQDN. Mm-hmm. And then we build a virtual appliance that they download and install in their environment. And then basically, if the customer requests hardware sensor, they're pre-configured, so they can ship them straight out in the location, they plug them in, and they report to the server. And this is because we do all the server setup ourselves before giving it to the customer.
Oh, okay.
So really the customer has to basically load an OVA on their system, on their, you know, VMware or Hyper-V, whatever virtual environment they have, plug the sensor, and they're ready to go. If their software, in the dashboard, you have a two-line command script with curl, basically that self-download, install the package, and then configure the agent or the VM or the Docker to connect to the server. So it's really like almost zero-touch provisioning, I would say, because we want like a fast deployment. We want a fast monitoring. So basically, once you deploy everything, which the only problem might be if you deploy sensor hardware, right, you have to ship them mm-hmm. and have someone plug them. But if they're virtual, with the, you know, with the Cisco integration DNA, people deploy 80 sensors in like 1 hour very easily.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, you have to configure the targets and the tests, which that also doesn't take much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it depends, of course, from the use case. Some have to then tweak a bit, maybe the alerts that they want to get. But yeah, it could be as quick as 1 week, or in some cases, if you have a lot of sensor, maybe taking a bit, lot of more
sure.
time.
Sure.
Or if you have like endpoints, maybe you want to work with the desktop team or the application delivery team to push it to all the endpoints with the SCCM or Intune or something else.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you're talking about the endpoints or the sensors, do you configure what tests those are doing from within like the admin panel of NetBees?
Yeah, the dashboard basically.
The dashboard,
yeah, the sensor is like a kind of, or at the endpoint, they're dumped, they're installed, they're there, and they sit there and wait for orders. And they establish a socket with the server. And then the NetBees user administrator configure targets, and tests, select the agents that where the targets should run, and then the agent immediately they start testing. Yeah, it's all done through the dashboard. That's the main brain, and you know, eye into the network for the administrator. Yeah.
So you can customize like across the board, like this group of sensors that can have run these tests, and this group of sensors over here can run a different set of tests. It's not just the same test from all everything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can create agent groups. Each agent group can have different targets, different alert profiles. So it's highly customizable, and it's not the same test for everyone. Yeah.
Gotcha. I like that. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to give away any 3 to 5 year, you know, roadmap secrets or anything, but what's in the the immediate future for NetBees?
Well, we're actually pushing out a release next week. We release quarterly, and I gotta say this year was heavy in terms of, in a good way. We published very nice features. One was path analysis, which we demo on networking field day 26. Networking field day 24, we demo the wireless metric for endpoints and the MOS estimate for Zoom, because estimating MOS and VoIP call based on network performance for Zoom is difficult because you cannot deploy an agent there, right? Mm-hmm. So we developed that. But no, next week in the short term, we're releasing ISP grouping and Azure Active Directory for the dashboard. So the user, they can use Azure Active Directory as an SSO. And then we're going to add more kind of ways to provide SSO with the dashboard. And so ISP grouping and now I don't remember. PC performance. So we can log the CPU and memory of the endpoints to see if the user is complaining, but the network is all good, but we see an increase in CPU utilization of memory, we would see that. So at least we can pinpoint remote user experience issues to PC performance. So those are the three updates. Again, ISP grouping, PC performance, and single sign-on. Those are the three updates that are coming next week. And then what we're doing in this, this year and the next year, we're basically like updating our UI. Think about the UI that we built in 2013, 2014. We did changes along the year, but now we're doing a major rework in React, which is a new UI framework, which is easier to work with and more kind of user-friendly also from a development perspective. So we're doing that. So we're updating then the reporting functionality. We're expanding the reporting functionality to include the information that matter, especially when you manage a high number of remote workers. So for example, ISP aggregation information, knowing how many users within an ISP experience certain issue, right? Or in terms of wireless performance, identify users that have bad wireless performance with the report. This is right now kind of a dashboard element, but not a formal report. So we want to improve that. Basically, we want to have NetBees being used more operationally, not just for troubleshooting, but also to run a help desk with thousands of remote users. And then we're also like working on scaling definitely the solution for thousands of sensor of agents, because if you think like now we can scale hundreds of sensor and think about this is on-prem, is not, you don't have the cloud, right? As a backend, you have a VM on-prem and needs to scale now to thousands of users, which this is what happening now with the work from home. Instead of having dozens or hundreds of network agents, then you have thousands of endpoints to monitor. So we're really doing an upgrade of the backend to make sure that we can scale to thousands of users. Tens of thousands of users. And then we might also start also doing more data analysis on top of the data that we collect. So always smarter detection of anomalies and correlation.
So when you release
a lot of stuff,
when you come up with and release a new feature like the PC performance, for example, mm-hmm. is that something that comes from your own research and development, or do customers have a way to communicate new features that they'd like to see?
Yeah, no, definitely. So we clearly have a vision. We know where we're heading towards, very opinionated vision. We also collect customer feature requests, and we have customer votes for each feature. I think right now we have about 120 feature requests in our roadmap, and some may have one or two votes, customer votes. Some may have 30 customer votes, right? So we definitely we always like triangulate between, okay, what are the features that have higher votes? What are the features that make sense for us to develop right now at the moment, based on also where things are heading? We try always, of course, to be two step ahead of what the future will bring, right? So we make sure that also PC performance, for example, maybe before COVID, we would never even do the endpoint. Mm-hmm. We thought about doing endpoint, but it was not the top priority. Then suddenly came because, hey, everybody's working from home. They don't know what's going on with their video performance. NetBeans needs to help with this use case. So it really depends basically on multiple factors, but we definitely listen to our customers. Sometimes we might also, you know, we tend not to sell NetBeans saying, okay, we'll include this release, this feature in the future release. But if it is a very important feature that they need and we see that other customer will benefit from the feature, we're going to prioritize it, mm-hmm. right? For even one specific customer. Yeah, but definitely, you know, we listen to the customer while at the same time we have a very strong vision and a very opinionated roadmap. Yeah.
Very cool. So without getting into like specifics, right, because I know pricing can be, you know, very fluctuate between, you know, is it government, is it commercial, you know, it depends on various different things, options. Right? So yeah. what is the pricing model, I guess, look like? Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you buy NetBeans, do you include a certain number of agents or do you have to like buy agents in packages? What does that look like?
Right. Good question. No, definitely. So we tend to, we want to make the license easy and simple to do the math, mm-hmm. right? Without a consumption-based model, number of tests or different things that are very difficult to then understand what you need, how much will cost. So we do it basically on number of network sensors that you deployed or mm-hmm. endpoint deployed. So we have really two classes of agents, the network agents and the endpoints, mm-hmm. With different pricing, of course. We have a minimal pricing because honestly, we sell mostly to medium and large size companies because we're not really so much for SMB. Like NetBeans cannot be the only network monitoring solution that you have in your network. We always say that mm-hmm. if you're looking for SMB, then start with the, you know, other products out there is not a fit. But if you already have an SNMP, a NetFlow, then and you have a pain where supporting user and troubleshooting takes a lot of time and lack of resources, then you have the right product in front of you. So, you know, it's in the thousands of dollars, right, I would say. But it really depends from, as you said, the vertical. We have discounts for EDU, of course, mm-hmm. and government, nonprofit as well. And but we work with a minimum number of sensors in terms of network agents or endpoints. Generally, that is about 20 network agents. But, you know, there could be, you know, then we're kind of flexible based on the sure. use case and what the customer needs. Yeah.
Sure. Cool. And if, you know, anybody listening wants to learn more about NetBeans, or I don't know if you offer like a free trial or a demo environment, you know, where can people go to learn more about NetBeans?
Yeah, thank you. So netbeans.net, if you've seen the video, I have a t-shirt. I don't know if you see it straight or like an ambulance, you know. So netbeans.net, the bees of the network. And yeah, we offer a 15-day free trial. Again, because we're not SaaS, we don't have like a self-service free trial, right?
Sure,
because
sure.
During with trials, we host the dashboard in the cloud because it's easier mm-hmm. to start a trial. And then we have the option, if you have software only, then we're good to go. Or if you want hardware, you can also request hardware for evaluation hardware. And then, yeah, we'll work with you really throughout the evaluation. You know, it's, everybody says it's simple, easy to use and intuitive, but still we work with the user, the prospect, to make sure they understand and we advise them how to use it, right? Anybody can go and request a demo, and we're very, you know, responsive. So And if not, if we have a lot of videos online, of course, networking field days, and you know, we have a YouTube channel, so there is plenty of information to have an idea of how it looks like. And we can also give access to a demo dashboard to, you know, poke around, basically.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that hour went by really quick. This has been a great conversation. Tim, do you have any last minute questions? And I'm just cruising the chat here.
No, nothing last minute. The questions, at least, one of the things I wanted to highlight was a big thing that I've said before, a big thing of Network Field Day 26 was visibility was a big theme, and NetBees was and is obviously a big player in that. So check them out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stefano, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything that we didn't ask you about NetBees that you want to make sure that you share with the listeners?
Honestly, no. I think, you know, it was sorry if I talk too much sometime. I'm very passionate, clearly, about NetBees. But it was really a great session. Very good questions, and really appreciate, you know, us having me here in this podcast. It was really great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our Patreons. You guys asked another great round of questions. If you're interested in being an Art of Network Engineering Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/artofneteng. And we thank you so much for joining us this evening, Stefano. Definitely got to check out NetBees. And we'll see you next week on another episode of the Art of Network Engineering podcast. Hey, everyone. This is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of NetEng. That's Art of NetEng. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.